Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, good morning, Well Community Church. How are we doing? Love it. Glad to hear it. Again, I'll just make the announcement. If you guys have room and can scoot in, that'd be great. We got a few folks that are still waiting by the doors that would love to find a seat. And for you that are joining us online, do the same. Don't hog the outside porch into the couch. That are like, get in the middle that's all saggy. Make some room for guests. They're going to walk into your home right now. It's good to be back, by the way, guys. My name is Mike Sladen. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at The Well, and I enjoyed a great break from at least this place over the summer as we were enjoying Convivium and this Meals with Jesus series that we walked through. I hope that it was as sweet for you, or for you as it was for me. It was an amazing series. If you're new around this place, we've kind of been in a bit of a change of pace for us. We're in a kind of a three-part series where we're talking about the values and the mission and the things that are kind of core to the Well Community Church. So if you're donning our doors for the first time, it's a great week to show up because we're really going to talk about kind of who we are as a church. For those of you that have been around for a long time, our hope, as we've said numerous weeks now in a row, is that you're simply nodding your head and going, yeah, that's what we've been about. I've been here 5 years or 10 years or 22 years. Hopefully what we're about has not changed over time. And that's really what we want to be committed to as we move forward. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin our time there, and then we're going to kind of be all over the place. But I would love to frame out what we're going to talk about specifically this week, this idea of our values at The Well. What are the things at the core that drive who we are? Where do the convictions come from? And what are the lenses through which we view everything that we do around here? Because it's essential to know those things. And as I think about that, that reality is not new to us. The early church has been a part of that for years. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 42 and following for just a minute. Is the story of the early church. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. He has now ascended into heaven. The gospel now is in the hands of the men and women who have heard the good news, and they're spreading it. And this baby thing called the church is just beginning to form. And this group of people has assembled together, and it talks about what their habits were. And like a ship that left port with a destination in mind, their goal was to continue to be about that destination, that we're going to head here, despite the winds and the waves and the storms that are going to come up, that are going to be potentials to push us off course or lead us in some other direction. The early church said, no, we're going to be about these things. This is why we get together. And by the way, if the early church fumbled that ball, you and I are not here today. We're not enjoying the privilege it is to stand on the shoulders of giants and to continue in a legacy and a lineage of faith that we didn't come up with, that was simply handed down from other faithful men and women who were about the core things of the gospel. So Acts chapter 2 describes this early church. I just want you to listen to this with me. I'm going to read verses 42 through 47 here. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone kept sensing or feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed together, were together rather, and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, with one mind in the temple, in breaking bread from house to house, they were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those that were being saved. Now, we could spend literally weeks in this passage, which we're not going to do. But what I want you to notice, maybe just in those beginning words, is why this local body of believers came together. They were very clear. We're here for the apostles' teaching. We're going to elevate and teach the word of God. We're here for fellowship, the breaking of bread, which literally would have been a communion, as well as maybe shared meals together where we got together with other believers and shared life deeply with one another in prayer. And if you ask the early church, why do you assemble? They would have said, here's our bullet point list. This is why we gather. This is what we're about on the day that we met together. And you notice in that passage, there's a sense of awe. that God was at work, that something was happening. He was adding to their number daily. There were people who were coming to know the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ, people bowing their knee to them, and it was an incredible time. So we asked ourselves the question years ago at the well, what does it look like for us to be about those same things? Maybe strategy-wise, we changed the way that we do things, but we're trying to accomplish the same core mission and uphold the same values that the church has always been about. So what I would like to do today is walk us through five things, five values that we hold to the well. We are biblical, we are authentic, we are restorative, we are generous, and we're engaged. Those are the five values that drive us. So let's begin with that first one, this idea of being biblical. This book, by the way, that I hope you're holding in your hand right now, is the most unique book ever assembled in all of human history. It is 66 books total, 39 in your Old Testament, 27 in your New, written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years in three different languages. And yet from start to finish, there is a thread woven all the way through, a common theme in every one of those books. And that is God's redemptive plan to redeem humanity through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Throughout the entire Bible, you can trace that theme all the way through. In fact, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you'll have eternal life, but in these they actually testify about me. Jesus says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus says, Moses, 1,500 years before I physically came on this earth, actually wrote about me, the coming of the Messiah, the promised one that would redeem Israel, and I am now here. On the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, Jesus walks with a couple people. And it says, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. He opened the word of God and said, these are the things that are about me. They are previews to the Messiah who is to come and now is here and now is on his way to glory. Jesus's claim is that the scriptures are about him. But it doesn't stop there. We also believe that they are divinely inspired. These books that we open to, these passages that we read from, aren't just mere men's musings or penning, so to speak. The Bible says that they are divinely inspired. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That idea of inspired is literally the word God breathed. These men that wrote the scriptures were supernaturally intended to do what they did. It's not just their penning or, hey, I'm gonna write this, but God allowed their unique personalities, their occupations, the things that were unique of them to show up in the writings. But it didn't just end there. God empowered them, literally breathed the scriptures through them. So there was this cooperative work between man and the Holy Spirit to have now the book that we have in front of us. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter. But know this, that first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by act of a human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's our view of the Scriptures. That is their self-claim about what they are. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So we believe around here that the scriptures are the word of God, the very words of God. They are inspired. In fact, Paul felt so strongly about this idea that as he was leaving and writing his swan song to his young protege, Pastor Timothy, pastoring this church in Ephesus, he says, as you gather together, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instructions. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul says, preach the word. Timothy, when you get together as the gathered church, this is what it needs to be about. This is the inspired word of God. So preach the word, because there's going to be a day and age, and I think we feel that more than ever, when people will not agree with what is said here. And they're going to assemble for themselves men and women who will tickle their ears and say contrary to what is written here. Paul says, because of that, people, Timothy, don't need your opinions. They need the word of God. So open it and preach it and share it and be about that. That is why at the Well, on most Sundays when you come here, we are opening up to a book of the Bible, and we are walking verse by verse through the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New, because they are both inspired by God. And that may be new for some of you, that you're maybe not used to that. If you grew up in maybe a different church tradition, or they handled the preaching of the word maybe differently. And I've recognized that even of late. A number of years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of getting to go on sabbatical here at the Well. And we were off for a couple months, and one of the first things that we did is we went on vacation. We went to Cabo. So we went out to the pool one day, and I sat down with my book and my wife sitting next to me. And if you know my wife, she's going to strike up conversations with whoever's in the vicinity. So she does. So there's this gal and this other gal that are there, and she says hi, and they say hi, and they start talking. And I'm like, I'm ignoring this. Like, I'm on vacation, right? So I'm going to read my book. Leave me alone. So I'm into my book, and I can kind of hear her talking. Hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a teacher. Oh, I'm a teacher. Oh, I teach at this school in Fresno. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm from Fresno too. Like, small world. We're both in Mexico, and now we're, you know, finally we both live in Fresno. So as the church, or the conversation continued, the subject of church comes up. And my wife says, oh, where do you go to church? And she says, this church. And she's like, oh, I go to the Well Community Church. And this gal says, I used to go to the Well. I'm like, huh. This can get really good. So I'm like, okay. So I'm not looking, but I kind of hold my book, you know, down. And my wife says, really? She says, tell me more about that. Why did you leave the Well? And she said, oh, the teaching. You know, it's good not to be Brad Bell some days because nobody recognizes you. So I'm like, okay. And she literally says, man, they're getting into history and verb tenses and all this stuff. She's like, man, can you just give me the 3 points and tell me what to do so I can go home? I was like, okay. Now, I say that, and admittedly, that can sound super arrogant, and I don't mean it to come across that way. But here's the reality. If we believe that this is an inspired word of God, what else are we going to do when we come together? You don't want to hear pithy sayings or funny stories, not all the time. We want to talk about the text because we believe it's inspired. And as Paul told Timothy, we believe that when this word of God is opened and we proclaim it boldly and allow the Spirit to do what the Spirit's going to do, lives will be changed. That was Paul's understanding, and that's our understanding as well. So it simply comes from a conviction to open up the word of God. And by the way, that conviction isn't unique to this platform. Your kids right now, if they're in our kids ministry, they're being led by men and women who are faithfully laboring over the word of God to say, how do I take the gospel and translate it into the life of a 3-year-old? How do I help them understand it's not about being good? It's about putting your faith in Jesus Christ, right? And your life will begin to change as you embrace the gospel. Like, those patterns are true there. They're true with our middle school and our high school ministries, in Regen, in Reengage, in Residency, our college ministry, our young adults, every in any environment that you're going to walk in at the Well, we are going to be a biblically measured church. We are going to look at things through the lens of the Scripture and say, God, how do we honor what has been written here? Because we believe this is the Word of God. My old pastor back in college said, we're not going to be about giving sermonettes to Christianettes. I was like, yeah, okay. We think too highly of the Word of God. And by the way, we think too highly of you to bore you with the Word of God. So we want to explain the Scriptures in such a way that they bring about life change. That's why in 2 weeks, if you come back, we're going to open up the book of Esther. And we're going to work verse by verse through that book until he returns or we're done. And then we'll go on to our next one. So that's our plan. I don't know how it's going to go down. We'll see. So number one, we're biblical. And by the way, the irony is not lost on me that right now, I am not giving a sermon exegetically, right? That we're putting a bunch of verses together. I'm cherry picking. I'm going to give you 5 points. They spell a word, barge, B-A-R-G-E, biblical. Next is authentic, right? You'll see at the end, they all line up. So the irony is not lost on me that we're doing that right now. But the normative pattern for us is we're going to open up the Word of God and work through it. Okay, so there you go. First is biblical. Second, authentic. We want to be an authentic church. We want to be a place that is a home for the broken. We want to normalize people being in process. Look, I don't need to convince you that you have issues. You know your issues. You don't need to convince me that I have issues. I have issues. Many of you know my issues, right? Because they're out there, and we share those, and we see that. But we want to be a church that embraces that and says it's okay to be in process. We're not going to stay there, but we are going to be honest about where we are. John says it like this. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves, and the truth of God is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We just want to be about that. We want to be honest about the fact that, yes, we're dogs. We have fleas. That's part of a process, right? That's just who we are. Not in a negative way, but we're just being honest about the process that we're still in. Paul, as he was literally penning the scriptures after trusting Christ, said this about his daily life. He said, "For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present, but the doing of good is not. God, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what you would ask of me, but I find myself so often in my life doing this thing instead of that, obeying the flesh instead of walking with the Spirit." Paul says that was the normative experience of my life. James says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." See, the reality is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forever changed in a moment. We are his, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, our salvation is secure, there's nothing we can do to lose it, and yet our lives do not instantaneously look perfect. That will happen one day. When we were in his presence, we were without this body of flesh that rebels against him. But until that day, when we see Jesus face to face, we get to live in the messy middle. We get to live in what we've called around here the sanctification gap between who God has made us to be and who we will ultimately be. There is living out that life with God. This last Monday, I stood on this stage and I spoke at Regen, our biblical 12-step recovery program. And I shared my messy middle. It was weird. It was uncomfortable. It was unnatural. It was hard for me to get in front of a group of people and say, as a believer, as a pastor, I still wrestle with sin. And I shared my story of longing for control, of at times having issues of anger that creep up in my life, of my history of sexual brokenness in my world, and shared those things publicly to help normalize the idea that we are all in process together and we're embracing the gospel over time. What I want to say to you is, as we think about that, we want to make, again, that a normal thing in our church. And one of the ministries that does that better than any other, again, is regeneration, where you find new life in Christ through a biblical recovery program. To date, since we started that ministry almost 10 years ago, 4,300 plus people have walked through those doors to find healing in Christ. We have had over 1,400 people, what we call commence, because you don't graduate, you're not done, you're not finished when you go through. Regen isn't some magic process that once you go through that 9 months or a year that you're fixed, you're still in process, you commence. And we honor that at the Well. And by the way, that's not something that y'all go through. That is something that we, together, we go through. As a staff, we've had almost 100 current and former staff that have walked through Regen. Because we want to go first. We want to own our lumber. We want to be honest about the sin habits in our lives, the hang-ups, the tendencies, the leanings of our flesh. Again, not to stay stuck or to give excuse for we're going to stay there, but to grow and to be honest about that process. 56 of our current staff have commenced from Regen. We have 22 who are starting in the fall. 75% of the men and women that lead this church have either been through or are currently in Regen. From our elders to our lead pastor, Brad Bell, to Kevin Manning, who's brand new on staff and said, yep, 100% I'm in, to Josh Hawley, who leads our Fig Garden campus, to Matt Berg, who leads our 6 p.m. service. He and I went together. I went through Regen together. He could bury me in 30 seconds if he wanted to, because we shared our junk together and we talked about these are the struggles that we have as believers. We want to make authenticity normative around here. So if you're new to the Well Community Church, welcome to the hot mess. We're a hot mess. But we're a hot mess that's continuing to allow the Spirit of God to do a work in us. And we want to be honest and authentic about that. So this is a place where you have permission to be in process. So that's number two. Barge, B-A-R, R, restorative. We're going to be a restorative church. If we're going to hear each other's junk, if we're going to have an opportunity to share those things honestly with one another, what do we do with that? How do we both give freedom to share and say, okay, let's move through a process together where we allow that to occur? We want to have people come as they are, but not stay where they are. We want to offer to others the same forgiveness that's been found in the gospel to us. Luke says, be on your guard. If a brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. The gospel has changed our lives. Forgiveness has absolutely overwhelmed us. And if we're truly aware of that, then we can extend grace and forgiveness to others. We want to model that. We want to help people become whole. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore a one in a spirit of gentleness, each looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Paul says the goal when a brother or a sister is honest about their sin is to move towards restoration. That word restoration or to restore is the same word used in the book of Matthew for the mending of nets. It's used in other literature for the healing of bones. Taking something that's broken and bringing it back together and allowing it to be whole or purposeful or useful again. That's what we want to be about. We want to provide that environment. We don't fix people. Christ fixes people. The Holy Spirit fixes people. But we want to create environments where that restoration process is normative. And we want to be about not shooting our wounded. Unfortunately, the church historically has not been a real safe place to share your messy middle. I grew up in a church that certainly wasn't like that. You didn't talk about those things. It was fine to talk about like my before Christ days and my time at Sigma Nu and the college fraternity and the crazy that was a part of that season of my life because I didn't know the Lord, right? And that was like, oh yeah, those were horrible, funny stories, right? But boy, now that I know the Lord, how do I talk about those things? How do I talk about the struggles that I have now? The temptations that still are present, the times that my flesh rears its ugly head and I want to walk down that road and not walk down that road. The reality is we want to create a place where that is normative. We want to embrace an environment that does that. We want to let the righteous smite us, as the psalmist says, like oil upon our heads, to not refuse a rebuke from a brother or sister in Christ that's helping us move towards wholeness. So if you're new around here, we want to be that type of church. And that, by the way, is our namesake. If you know the story of the well, we got our name from John chapter 4, the story of Jesus interacting with a Samaritan woman. Everything about this story is wheels off. You've got a man interacting with a woman, a Jew talking to a Samaritan, a well-respected rabbi in the community talking to a woman of less than noble character. And he talks to her about this living water that he has that will cause her to never need water or never to thirst again. And she says, sir, I would love some of that water. Give it to me. And Jesus says, how about you go get your husband? And she says, I have no husband. And he said, indeed you don't. You've had five. And the man you're with right now, he's not your husband either. So he calls sin, sin. He's honest about that. But he says, I still offer you living water. Come to me. I am the healer. Jesus did an incredible job of balancing grace and truth. And we want to be a church that models that as well. We're not going to make excuses. We're not going to excuse sin. If the Bible calls it sin, we're going to call it sin. But we're also going to invite people into a life-changing relationship with our Savior that changed our lives and we believe can change yours as well. So again, if you're new to the well, we want to have that type of both honest and authentic spirit and restorative in the process. Number four, we're a generous church. We serve a generous God. James or John says, we love because he first loved us. In fact, one of the most popular, maybe most well-known verses in the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave what was most precious to him, his very son, for the redemption of humanity. We have a generous God and we want to model that as well. And everything we do, we want to be about participating in kingdom work, specifically in three areas: our time, our talents, and our treasures. We want to give our time in a way that it shows up on our calendars. Y'all, this church cannot run with incredible people like you that are willing to give of their time sacrificially. where you could be doing other things. You could go golf on a Sunday morning or do whatever it is that you guys want to do, your hobbies, or be at home. But you give. You give of your time. We had over 800 volunteers here this summer for Summerpalooza who gave a week of their time to see that the kids could hear the gospel on display. We want to be about that. Not just as a body, but also as a staff. We want to model that well from the way that we use our staff time, the way that we handle things of those natures to make sure that we are engaged in the way that we do that, to use our time in a way that impacts His kingdom. But we also want to do that with our talents. We want to use the things that God has given us for the kingdom. Earlier this morning at our 8:30 gathering, as I was looking over here to my right, there was a gal that was repeating everything I said in sign. She was sharing with those that are hard of hearing or deaf in our body to make sure that she could use her gifts in a way that they could fully engage so that they could hear the word of God taught. In fact, that ministry has grown so much, they've said, Mike, can you, before you or Brad teach, can you send us your messages? We want to look through them. We want to make sure that we're able to translate words correctly. If you're going to say some crazy theological term, we want to make sure that we nail it. And I'm like, man, absolutely. So there's people in our body that just have said, look, those are my talents, and I want to give in such a way that other folks are honored. And then lastly, obviously, as we talk about being generous, we want to be generous with our treasures. We want to live in such a way that we understand that we're stewards. We're not owners. Those of us who have been bought with a price, who've been redeemed by the shed blood of Christ, our lives are no longer our own. We die daily, and we remind ourselves that all that we have is Christ, and we're simply stewarding those gifts. We talk about as a church how we've done that, that we give away the first $500,000 of our Cultivate initiative to build this campus and to restore the Fig Garden campus and to build now even new buildings that are opening up here in a couple weeks, our student center and our coffee shop. We've given away much of that money to other gospel-centered organizations in town to help them flourish. And we don't say that to pat ourselves on the back. We simply realize that God has given us favor, and we want to help any and every ministry that we're able to do. Since 2018, we have given over $5.2 million towards missions in this city and even in this world. And we don't say that to pat ourselves on the back, but I want you guys to know that 10% of everything that you give gets given away to needs and gospel-centered ministries all over our city. So it is our hope that we would use all of the resources that God has given us specifically financially to do just that. And by the way, our facilities. As Buchanan was hosting graduations for all the high schools late last school year, we said, please park in our parking lots. They are yours. We invite you into that. Please play volleyball on our volleyball courts. Those are yours to enjoy. Those are not ours to hoard. We want to make sure that we're open to those things. This week, we had the incredible privilege as a church to host a funeral here for a firefighter that fell and died. And we said, hey, our facility is your facility. How can we love you? And we had staff that changed their hours that week to give sacrificially to say, hey, we want to be about that. How do we help you honor this family and the people that so dearly loved him? So that spirit is all over this church. So we want to be a church that's generous in those ways, to go above and beyond, to be open-handed, and to say yes anytime that we possibly can. So that's the idea of generous. And then lastly, we want to be a church that's engaged. We want to be in the community for the community. My old seminary professor said the impact that most churches have after they have left the community is the same hole that's left in a bucket of water when you move your hand from it. It just fills itself in and nobody knows that you're even there. And we decided early on, we don't want to be that type of church. We want to know the needs of the community and we want to meet the needs of the community. We want to know how we can be involved in the work of God here in this city that God has put us in. 1 John says it like this, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? James says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even faith, if it has no works, is dead. So to the community out there that doesn't know why we exist or why we gather or what happens in these doors, We want to be a church that says, look, we care about you. We care more than just about your spiritual journey. We care about your physical journey as well. How can we come alongside the needs of this great city that God has put us in and help be about that? So everything that we do is about that. In fact, right now, the Fig Garden campus is partnering with Wawona School, who's just across the canal bank from them. And they've been doing this for years and years and years. And they simply reached out and said, hey, how can we help with back to school? What needs do your kids have? Do they need backpacks? Do they need pencils? Do they need pens? Do they need notebooks? We're going to gather those together. You let us know what those needs are, and we simply want to provide them. No strings attached. We don't care if you come to the church. We'd love that you do, but that's not why we're doing this. How can we help meet those needs? When winter rolls around, they'll do coat drives and other things like that just to say, hey, we love you guys. We recognize you're our neighbor. We care about you. We have some people that would love to generously give. Can you tell us what those needs are so that we can simply be a part of that process? That's what we want to be about as a church. From the top down, from a body as an organization, as well as to every member of it, we want to be engaged in the needs of this great city. Globally, we sent over 100 people overseas last year to help meet real needs and to share the gospel with people that otherwise wouldn't hear it. Last year, we sent over 900 people to engage and serve Fresno, where we ministered south of Shaw and took on projects and restorations in neighborhoods just to help with real world tangible needs. Those type of things we want to drive us at the well. So as you think about it, that's who we are as a church. We are biblical, we're authentic, we're restorative, we're generous, and we're engaged. And I say that to you saying, look, we know that we don't do this perfect all the time, right? That's our heart, those are our values. But what I want to say is that we're not just hoping those things exist. They're not just simply written on a wall somewhere in our back office. We think through those things and we make decisions based on these things. And that's the type of church that we want to be. We want to be a church that continues to be about that end destination where God, we left this port. You're calling us to that port. All types of things are going to happen, winds and waves and storm-wise during the midst of that journey, but we want to continue to be about those things. So if you're, again, new to the well, you could not have picked a better time to come. We want to invite you into that. And again, this is an imperfect place, but I promise you we will put the fun in dysfunction as we try to do this together. We want to live these values out in every way that we can. And as you think about this idea, these values are going to get expressed best in groups and in teams. And one of the drums you've heard us beat over the last number of weeks is just that. So as you walk out the doors this morning, you're going to see a couple tents out there that are set up with people that would love to tell you how to get engaged, how to get in groups, how to be in life-transforming communities, just like the Acts 2 church that share deep fellowship with one another and live life deeply with one another. We're also going to show opportunities that are there, things that are going on. Our 8:30 service this morning had 25 kids in the nursery. Kevin was holding babies at one point, right? So that's just part of what we do. There's needs out there. And some of you would say, man, I would love to hold a baby. Awesome. Some of you would say, I would hate to hold a baby. Please don't. We don't want you holding babies. But there's tons of different areas of ministry and teams that need those things. And as you begin to find those fits of ministry, you're like, oh man, nothing would delight myself more than sitting here and using my gift of sign language to help other people engage in a service. Great. We would love to help you figure that out. But there's no drive-by guiltings. These are the things that we simply want to be about. And also, if you're new here, you have a chance to walk out in the courtyard even this morning. Kevin's going to walk us through Discovery, kind of an extended version even of what we talked about here. If you want to meet our campus pastor, maybe learn how to take next steps and hear more about the heart of the well, or even to ask questions on a one-on-one level, Kevin would love to talk to you about that. But friends, that is who we are as a church. And I pray if you're new around here, we would love to help you move from guest to family. We would love to invite you into the mess, kind of like a first date. We're through it, through the awkwardness, so to speak. We're trying to give you who we really are, not our fake Instagram profile of how awesome we are. This is who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you're like, man, I'm about that, come on, enjoy the journey. We would love to invite you in with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, I think even of the early church, I'm so grateful that we did not figure this stuff out, that we are standing on the shoulders of great men and women who gave their lives for the gospel, that boldly proclaimed who Christ was, who knew why they gathered, knew what the church was to be about, And Father, as we try to continue in that great legacy, would you help us to stay on point in the city? Would you help us to be a church that is all of these things, that we would make a difference for you and your kingdom? Father, in humility, would we recognize that we cannot do this without you? It is not about the Well Community Church. It is about your kingdom and your Son. And we're going to continue to proclaim his name and the gospel greatly until he comes or you take us home. Father, would you find us as men and women faithfully laboring for your kingdom until that day comes. God, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.